Okay. Acts chapter 10, I'm taking the title from the word and the verse that's found in verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we're all here present before God. Now, that's true of this congregation right now. We're all here present before God, the true and living God. And I pray that we're here before God to hear all things. We are here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So the title of the message, we're here to hear, using two different words that phonetically sound exactly the same. That's why this English language is so difficult. It is for me. My mother was a Dutchman, and I grew up with broken English. She couldn't teach me anything, and I struggled in school because of that. We're all here to hear, and that before God. Now, this is the God with whom we have to do. We're here before God. We studied in Wednesday night, Isaiah 46. The Lord said, I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. He's the only just God and Savior. He says, that's why he says, look unto me and be ye saved. We're all here right now before God. This is the God with whom we have to do. And I pray that that's true of us this morning. We used to sing a chorus, we've come into this house and gathered in his name, remember, to worship him. The only real place worship happens is before the throne of the Almighty, Sovereign God, who is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're also here to hear the word of God, the living God, the true God. Now, I want you to listen to the message I have, because Lord willing, I deliver unto you the truth of the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to me, but I want you to hear him. That makes sense? I want you to hear him. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I want you to hear him, receive his word, and believe his gospel. Those who do, the word of God effectually works in their heart to the salvation of their soul. Now, this is another true story given unto us, how the Lord calls out his sheep with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by his servant sent with the gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We saw in Acts chapter 9 the salvation of a lost religious Jew named Saul of Tarsus, how God called him out. Now we're going to see the salvation of a religious lost Gentile. Both men were religious. Both men were lost. Cornelius was devout, a devout religious man, but he was lost because he had never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God sent him the gospel preacher. He was lost, even though he was religious. He was lost because he'd never heard the gospel, never believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We see another example of the sovereign providence of God arranging all things in the lives of his people to bring them to hear the gospel and believe it. Can't you look back in your life? I can in mine so distinctly, so clearly. God has arranged everything in your life to cross your path with the gospel of the grace of God. It wasn't an accident. You just didn't happen into or bump into the gospel. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe God and believe the gospel. God will somehow, some way, bring a gospel preacher into your life. Now, he did mine. And he will you too. He will call you out. How God, we see in this story, how God prepared the heart of Cornelius At the same time, he was preparing the heart of Peter to preach to this Gentile. We call that prevenient grace. God was working in the heart of Cornelius. Grace before grace. That's what prevenient grace means. We've seen this before in our study in the book of Acts, where the eunuch went to Jerusalem and was returning back to his home country in Ethiopia, reading the word of the Lord. And God sent Philip all the way out there to a desert country to preach that one man. God will cross your path with the gospel. And Philip took the same scripture, remember, and preached Christ unto him. We've seen this before in our study, and we're going to see it again. This is what we call the marvelous and sovereign good providence of God. The Lord is preparing to call out a great number of his elect, and we're going to see that all the way through, and we've already seen that in the preaching at Pentecost and their following, how the Lord called out thousands and thousands of people with the preaching of the gospel. The Lord's going to save this Gentile sinner the exact same way that he saved the religious lost Jews by the grace of God alone. I want you to turn to this scripture, Acts 15, verse 11, when they had this conference in Jerusalem about circumcision. Does God justify and save by grace alone, or do we have to add circumcision to it? Peter stood up and said, Acts 15:11, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. By the grace of God alone. God saves the Jew the same way he saves the pagan Gentile. By the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God alone. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the world began. Through the same means, the word of the Lord. The same means, by the word of the Lord. Notice in Acts chapter 10, the last part of verse 22, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into thy house to hear the words. To what? Hear the words. Now turn over to Acts chapter 11. When Paul retells this story in Acts chapter 11, verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. We're all here before God to hear the thing commanded thee of God. You see, my friend, it's the word of the Lord, the gospel itself, that's the power of God in salvation. It wasn't Paul's ability or Peter's ability, nor any man's ability to speak the gospel that the power of God in salvation. Now, we must speak clearly and distinctly and boldly, but if all you hear is me, you won't have any spiritual benefit. You must hear from him, from God Almighty. Now, it's obvious that Cornelius was one of God's elect, chosen unto salvation because he believed, he heard and believed the gospel. You must hear the gospel to be saved, to be called out of darkness. Now, I want you to turn with me, find 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The sinner, saved by the grace of God, must hear the gospel with ears given of God to be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that's regeneration, which leads to belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn back a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Knowing, brethren, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it came in word, didn't it? but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They heard the gospel with the power of God. That's how you know your election. How do I know if I'm one of God's chosen? You hear the gospel and you believe it, love it, and submit to it. As we read earlier in this chapter, how the Lord, in His wise and good providence, arranged this meeting between Peter the preacher and Cornelius the soldier, the Roman soldier, and see the Lord preparing the hearts of both. One sinner, Peter, telling the other sinner, Cornelius, how God saves sinners in Christ. The Lord sent Cornelius a vision about Peter coming and preaching the gospel, and the Lord sent Peter, Cornelius a vision, and the Lord sent Peter a vision to preach the gospel to a Gentile named Cornelius. And that's why the Lord sent him that special, special vision. He saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending, verse 11, as it had been a great sheet knit in four corners and let down to the earth. Salvation comes from heaven. It came down from heaven. And this is a picture of God's church, sinners out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and heaven, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Wherefore, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things, wild things, fowls of the air. And Peter said, I don't want to have anything to do with them. God said, yes, you will. What I've cleansed by the blood of Christ, He said, you go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why the Lord sent them out all over the world, going to all the world. It says there, the four corners. Four corners. God has an elect in the east, the west, the four corners of the earth, the north, the south. God's going to call His people out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a couple things here. And it's kind of scattered, but this is the way it came to me. The first thing I want us to notice is this. The angel of the Lord did not preach the gospel to Cornelius, but he was told to send for Peter, who would preach the gospel. We read that in several different places in verse 22, verse 23. Now, the angel of the Lord could have, right? He could have preached the gospel to Cornelius, but it wasn't God's pleasure to do so. You remember in Luke chapter 2, when we went through the whole gospel of Luke, you remember some angels went and preached the gospel to some shepherds and said, unto you this day is born in the city of David Christ the Lord. And the whole heavenly host appeared before them singing, glory to God in the highest. So angels can declare the gospel, but normally and usually, the Lord sends a sinner with the message to tell other sinners about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it normally works. Now, my pastor used to tell us young preachers this. You can't box God up in a corner and say, now you've got to work just like this. He'll break out and He'll do what He will, when He will, with whom He will, how He pleases. Now, I say normally and usually, the Lord sends out a sinner who's been taught of God to tell other sinners about Christ. As I've often said, one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save and to call out His people. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure of the gospel in an earthen vessel. You're looking at an earthen vessel. who has the treasure of the gospel, but we don't glory in this earthen vessel, do we? We glory in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord calls out sinners with the word preached. Exactly so. You remember in Acts chapter 8, turn over there. Acts chapter 8. When the eunuch was reading about the substitute Jesus Christ, he didn't know what he was reading. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, what? The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see this over and over again in our study. The second thing I want us to notice is this. The Lord also was preparing the heart of Peter to preach the gospel to the Gentile, that salvation is by the grace of God alone, not by any nationality or by the deeds of the law. It is true the Lord has an elect people all over this world, and he will cross their path with the gospel, and he will call them out with the word of truth. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. The Lord came to save sinners, and he calls them out with the gospel. The Lord has the sovereign right to choose whom he will. He said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I want you to notice something here. I tried to point this out. What God had cleansed, God said to Peter, that call not thou common or unclean. And then it says down here in verse 28, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And then Peter in verse 34 opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Now, that statement there has been so abused by people who hate the gospel. Because oftentimes when we say that God elected a people, that God sovereignly chose a people, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, right away they turn around and say, they quote this verse, God is no respecter of person. You're exactly right. Election is unconditional. God doesn't choose any man because he's a Jew or he's a Gentile, because he's young or because he's old, because he's white or because he's black. Who you are in the flesh does not matter one whit. Salvation that's of the Lord and by his grace. In that sense, Peter is saying God shows mercy to no man upon the basis of his merit, of his righteousness. God does not respect anything we are or have because we're nothing but sin. That's what's being said. Don't use that as an argument to say, well, everybody has a chance at salvation. You know, God can't be a respecter of person. Yes, he is. In that sense, he said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Now, that statement there is given in the Word of God six times. We read it a moment ago in Galatians 2:6. Salvation doesn't have anything to do with who you are in the flesh. It's unconditional. Election, God's grace. Now, let me show you another scripture that will help you on this. Turn to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before both proved Jews and Gentiles, all under sin. You see that? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. There's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And then it says down in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That again, one of my favorite verses, verse 24. Justified freely by his grace. So, in regard, and we'll look at this again next week when we look at verse 34 down through verse 48. Now, Peter had to learn this lesson just like the rest of the apostles did. Salvation is always and only by the sovereign grace of God, not of works, because all men are sinners. Sinners. Sometimes these lessons are hard to learn. Now, you would think Peter, having been through this situation, God giving him this special vision, and he going and preaching the gospel to Cornelius, and then some years later when he was up in Antioch and he was fellowshipping with Gentiles who believed, and the Jews from Jerusalem, James and those other apostles came up, Peter took a step back and said he separated himself. Now, you see how weak the flesh is? Don't tell me that people won't do things. Yes, they will. Apart from the grace of God, there's nothing you or I will not do. And that lesson is hard to learn. Sometimes we have to learn it the hard way, too. It's his blood alone that cleanses us from all our sin. Here's the third thing. When Peter came to meet Cornelius, he had gathered together all his family, neighbors, and friends. You see that in the last part of verse 24. Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and his dear friends. He wanted everybody to hear God's servant. Verse 33, he said, "We're all here before God, present, to hear all things commanded thee of God." That's a good thing to do, to gather together your friends and neighbors to come and hear the gospel. It reminds me of a story about this place right here, this ministry right here. In the spring of 1986, when this building was completed by our dear friend, now with the Lord, Paul Doug Thacker, God sent a Peter right here to preach to those Corneliuses that were here. When Henry Mahan came here to preach the gospel, Paul Thacker, in that first meeting, I was here that night because I drove Brother Henry up that night. Paul and Sue Thacker had gathered everyone they knew to come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this place was packed out. I remember standing up here because Brother Henry had me read the scripture in there. I remember men standing on that back wall. They gathered everybody here to hear the word of the Lord. We ought to do that today. Be zealous about inviting others to come and hear the gospel. Little did I know that one day the Lord would send me here to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been here now almost 20. Next week we'll make 26 years. We're all here to hear all things God commanded me to tell you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should always be zealous to invite our friends and family to come and hear the word of the Lord. That's what we do here. Cornelius had to learn that the servant of the Lord, here's another lesson, was just like him. When Peter was come in, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet and worshiped him, and Peter rebuked him and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Cornelius had to learn that the servant of the Lord was a sinner just like him. Men of like passion. John also had to be rebuked, John the Apostle, by the angel of the Lord in Revelation 19 where he bowed to the angel and the angel said, don't bow and worship me. I'm your fellow servant. You worship God. Those servants who are sent to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are no different than any other man. I'm just like you. I have the same frailty, the same terrible thoughts, the same sickness, the same hindrance that you have. I have the same problem and issues that you have. I don't live in a bubble. Now, there are usually two extremes that we run to when people consider preachers. And both extremes are wrong. One extreme, either preachers are totally despised and hated because of the gospel they preach, and their message is ignored. They're strongly opposed. And we're going to see that. We've already have seen that in the study of Acts. That's one side. The other side of the coin is preachers are worshipped and put on a pedestal and blindly followed. Both extremes are wrong. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Servants of the Lord are to be heard. They're to be esteemed for the ministry's sake. Thanks be to God that he still yet does call and send gospel preachers. Pray for them who are sent to preach the gospel. An interesting side note. Paul and Sue Thacker had a young son named Kevin. When we first came here in 1986, Kevin was just a little boy. 10, 11 years old, something like that. You know where he is now? God raised him up, gave him faith to believe the gospel, made him a preacher of the gospel, and pastor of a church now in California, Jamal, California. Isn't that amazing? The Lord used all that to raise that one man up to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God works. He worked in Kevin's heart. He worked in their heart and brought the two together. That's how it works. God's servants are to be heard. They're be to esteem for the sake of the ministry. And we give thanks to the Lord who sends out gospel preachers. They're called ambassadors of the Lord, sent to preach the word of the Lord. Now, lastly, let me close with this. What should believers expect from the preacher? What should you expect from me when you come here? What do you expect that I'll say when you come here? All things, as it says there, we're here to hear all things commanded of God. You want to hear the gospel, don't you, when you come here? You don't want to hear sad stories about my childhood, do you? Well, I've got a lot of them. You want to hear the gospel. My sad childhood is not going to help you. Believers expect to hear the gospel. Believers always should expect those who are sent as ministers of Christ to declare what God has commanded. We should keep back nothing, but rather declare all the counsel of God, how God saved his people. Let me show an example of this. Turn to Acts 20. We're commanded to preach the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, verse 19, serving the Lord with humility of mind, with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, Acts 20, verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure, free from the blood of all men. I've shunned not declaring to you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And he winds up by saying, verse 32, and now I, brethren, commend you to God to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them that are sanctified. God's able to do that. We commend you to God and to his word of the Lord. Verse 34 in Acts 10, Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, God does not respect a man's person. Mercy does not run, or salvation does not run the bloodline, but in every nation, God has a people. They're brought to worship him. They're brought to believe the gospel. They're accepted in the beloved. And they believe the gospel, the word of God, preaching peace, salvation, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. We're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34 down through verse 48. We'll look at that, Lord willing.